morning, we're calling to order this February 22nd, 2012 variance hearing of Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Affenberg Taylor, the executive secretary of the controls for the hearing today. A few items about the hearing. First, some general information, the order of presentation. The project sponsor and or applicant will be allowed 5 minutes to speak and present oral testimony as to how the 5 findings needed to justify a variance have been met by the project. During this time, the applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they come forward to present their case. There'll be general public comment or public comment on the item where any proponents or opponents will be allowed 3 minutes to speak each. If there is any public testimony in opposition to the project, then the project sponsor will be allowed a 3 minute rebuttal. During this time, I may ask general questions of the applicant or members of the public. Also, at the end, may close the public hearing, take the matter under advisement, make a decision on the item today, or may continue the item to the issue date for more information. Items on the consent calendar, of which there are two today, are matters that are considered routine by the zoning administrator. If you would like to speak on one of these items, please step forward, otherwise the action will be granted as subject to standard conditions. There's also one item on the calendar today that's scheduled for continuance next month. There will be a general public comment at the end of the hearing, which will be live for items that are not on the agenda. That will be limited to 3 minutes for each speaker. Now, on the criteria for justifying a variance, Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional extraordinary circumstances, a literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until the decision letter is issued. Due to the current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of the hearing. If you wish to receive a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-in form that's against the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. The appeal letter is what carries the decision letter is what carries the appeal rights and is appealable to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance of the letter. Other items, private conversations can be disrupted during the hearing while we encourage all parties to meet and talk. We would request that you do so outside of the hearing chambers in order to make sure they've got a quiet environment for the hearing room. The next variance hearing is scheduled for March 28, 2012. Audio recordings of variance hearings beginning with the January 1st, 2011 hearing are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda. And that's about all. We would note that the clock is about an hour off. It's been an hour off for a while now, and I guess next month, as we spring ahead, we'll be probably 2 hours off, but we'll see if we can get that fixed. And so now we can start with the items to be continued. We'll call that.
Item number 1, case number 2011.1274V, 1884 Green Street, rear yard and non-complying structure variance is sought. This particular item will be continued to our next variance hearing on March 28, 2012.
So is there any public comment on the continuance of this item to March 28, 2012? We did have a hearing on this item last month, and we're continuing it 1 month further to allow for completion of a revised Section 311 open notification. So saying that there is no public comment, we would continue this item to the March 28, 2012 hearing until our consent item.
There are two items in our consent calendar, case number 2011-1347V, 630 28th Street, front setback variance sought. Item number 3, case number 2011.1436V, 1019 Church Street, rear yard and non-complying structure variance is sought.
So is there any public comment on either of these two items, on 630 28th Street or 1019 Church Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on both of these items, and within the time to grant the requested variance is subject to standard conditions, and we can move on to the regular calendar.
Regular calendar item number 4, case number 2011-1299V, 2373 Francisco Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variance is sought. Is the sponsor of this project here, please? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Do you need the affidavit?
Sure.
Yes, you can. Okay, thank you.
Hi, so looking to build a rooftop deck, trying to get some outdoor space. The deck is compliant and passed the 311 without any issues. So that worked okay. So what I need a variance for is the stairs and the egress up the back. I have a regular sized lot, and the existing building covers over 80% depth of the lot. It's up to about 83%. So there is no backyard space. There are no good options of where to put the stairs, right? So we tried everything from the existing stairs, which aren't wide enough, and the only other real option is off an existing balcony at the rear of the building. All of the other options are very extreme. There's no other external options about tearing down the building, which really isn't very realistic. And internally, there's no space without dramatically reconfiguring the floor plan and removing a lot of the historic features that are inside the building. We've been through with all the neighbors, no issues that I'm aware of. It's not detrimental, in our opinion. It doesn't impact density, bulk, or height. It's within the existing envelope already of the structure. It's off the balcony that already resides there. It's surrounded by a bunch of taller buildings, and we've got over 100 feet of open space between the back neighbors and ourselves. Okay. So those are my points.
What year was the building constructed?
I think it was like 1930, 1940.
Okay, and then there's 3 units within the building?
Yeah, there's 2 major flats, and there's a small studio down below. Okay. And then the balconies are on the 2 flats. They're already there, and that sits on top of the studio that's down below.
So as you noted, the roof deck is not subject to the variance. It's the stairs to access the roof deck. The roof deck provides usable open space for the top unit or for multiple units?
Just the top unit.
Just the top
unit. It's private.
And currently, how does that top floor access open space for that unit? They have to go down?
You got to go down through the stairs, you got to go, in through the garage, out in the back, past the studio where the person is living, and then their back door, if you will, is right there in that small sliver of space. Exists in the back door.
The proposal would dramatically improve the access to usable open space for that top unit. And the stairs aren't actually extending any further than the existing building, is that correct?
It's within the existing envelope, yes. It's a spiral staircase. It's, I think, 36 inches in diameter. It's got light that's able to go through it and so forth, and, show it nice.
And although it's a standard size lot, about 25 by 100 feet, as you noted, it does have substantial lot coverage, so it's an existing legal non-compliant structure that it currently covers more of the lot than the
other. Yeah. And the building was already that way, as you noted, from the 30s and 40s, so we did not enlarge it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item on 2377 Francisco Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on the item. We decline to grant the requested variance, also noting that in section 311 of the notice. That was last year, and no discretionary use were filed, so we can move on to the next item.
Item number 5, case number 2011-1405V, 322-28th Street, exposure variance sought. Is the sponsor for this project here? Please approach the mic, ma'am. You have 5 minutes. Yes.
Sorry, can you hear me?
There you go.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So, So the proposed project sort of isolates the basement space from the garage and converts the basement into a separate studio apartment. The garage is enlarged so that a second car could be parked non-tandemly. There's going to be some stairs coming from the upstairs directly to the exterior yard, and there is going to be an accessible ramp along the side of the house to make the new studio apartment fully accessible, and that features will ensure the long-term occupancy of the current owner in her property. So the part of the building that is currently non-compliant is the rear setback of an addition done in 1979. It's a second floor addition that went through the permit process through the city and was approved by the current codes and setbacks at that time. It's not part of the construction project that we're proposing. The construction is fully going to be within the existing building envelope. And the existing building envelope where we're going to be building is outside of the rear yard setback. I think that's pretty much it. If you have any questions.
Thank you. Is it the property, is it RH2 zoning district, so increasing from the single family to a second unit?
Yes. Yes, we are adding, and I know it's zoned to be able to do that.
And the only variance that we're looking at here is the exposure variance, because as you noted, there is a structure that's within the required rear yard, doesn't have maintain the code-compliant rear yard requirement. So because of the structure that does approach into the rear yard, though that was constructed in 1979, so now you don't have a code-compliant rear yard, which, since this unit is at the lower level and facing into the rear yard, since it's not a code-compliant rear yard, it does meet the exposure requirements. So that's what we're here for, so
yes.
That exposure variance.
Yes.
But you do have substantially sized rear yard, and yes. One of the reasons it's an RHG zoning district, which you could normally use the averaging, but the nature of the both adjacent properties, they're actually quite shallow developments, so you don't get any gain or any benefit by the nature of the adjacent structures, but you're still maintaining way more than 25%, probably about a third of the rear yard to maintain its open space.
Yeah.
But it's not enough to meet the code requirement, so we're good for that exposure variance.
Oh, yes.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
But yeah, and I guess it does matter, but the part on the ground floor where the rear yard is open.
Right.
And the part that is approaching is raised.
Level.
Right. Raised above.
Thank you. And the building permit application has been submitted for this?
No, we were waiting for
the decision on the
variance. The decision on the variance.
And you'll go through that section 311 notice.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item on 322 28th Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on the item being appointed to grant the requested variance, noting that there is a substantially sized rear yard that is being retained, and we'll have a very special letter issued as soon as we can. So we can move on to the next item.
Case number 2009.0291V, 151 3rd Street. Off-street loading configuration and dimensions variances sought. Is the sponsor of this project? You have 5 minutes, sir. You have the posting with you?
I do not. I'll bring that.
You can just bring him over to the, or send him to the planner. Okay, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. This is the Museum of Modern Art expansion project. There's two unusual circumstances that attend to this project. One is that the size of trucks that deliver fine art tend to be close by semi-trailer trucks that need wide loading entries to get into the building. The loading cannot occur at the curb because of the security needs of fine art and the insurance requirements. So they must be unloaded within enclosed loading areas. There is an existing enclosed loading area at the rear of the SF MoMA that will be continued to be used for fine art unloading and loading. That will be slightly reconfigured in the addition, so the opening for that loading door is about 22 feet wide now, which exceeds the plan for requirements. That will get adjusted a few feet to the east, mandating that this variance occur. That's number one. The second variance is that the driveway leading to that loading zone is wider than the code allows. And the reason, again, for that is that the size of the trucks are very large, have large turning radii, and Main Street is quite narrow. So there's no way for those trucks to be able to pull in or back out of this loading dock without the width of the opening being wider. Also note that the existing opening is even wider than what we're proposing. We are narrowing it a bit, but it still exceeds the code. And then the second unusual circumstance is that we are providing a vehicular passageway between the stub end of Thomas Street and the portico share for the W Hotel on 3rd and Howard, so that both valet parking attendants can move cars on the portico share to the parking garage on Thomas Street, as well as provide loading and trash pickup to their loading dock, which their loading dock is within their portico share. It's an unusual circumstance that beyond our control. We have worked out an easement agreement with the W to permit that access across our property. But in order to do that, there needs to be a two-way driveway on Thomas Street and a two-way opening at the interior of the block adjacent to the portico share. So those two openings exceed the width restrictions of Section 155. So those are the variances we're seeking. I believe driven by the unusual circumstance of the Fine Art Museum, in the C3 district, and the portico share location of the loading dock location of the W Hotel. I would also note that both Thomas Street and Main Street are service alleys. There's other provisions of the code that note on service alleys, the width restrictions of the plan code can be relaxed. Unfortunately, they don't apply in this particular situation, but they do apply in other situations. The architect is here if you have any questions.
Just a few minor questions. So the access for the loading off of Minnick, can you describe currently how that area is used? It's kind of understanding that it's an open parking lot.
It's an open parking lot leading to a garage, a loading door. That existing parking lot will be developed with the addition above ground. So that parking lot is disappearing.
But it's not as if the existing building was being demolished in order to make way for a large driveway. It's the current, currently as configured, it's an open parking lot. There will be building constructed. There'll be a driveway that is wider than the code would allow to require seeking the variance. Also noting that the width of Minna, was the width of Minna?
Where is 35?
So given the narrowness of Minna, it would necessitates the wider than normal driveway in order to provide access for these 80-wheelers that are coming in the flooding area. And also the access from Natoma for the W Hotel seems to justify it. It would seem that would preserve the ability to access the W Hotel, right? So you're seeing there. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? And it's 151 3rd Street.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Liz Bridges. I'm with SSL Law Firm. I'm here on behalf of KSSF Enterprises, which owns the W Hotel, which is adjacent to the SF MoMA and its proposed expansion. I'm here today to ask that you do not approve the variance request on a few fundamental grounds. We've raised these concerns at other administrative hearings and opportunities for that. We have some fundamental issues with this project. Primarily with the environmental review that was done for the project. We don't believe that it was adequate or sufficient based on its analysis of traffic impacts, aesthetic impacts, and the construction period impacts. We also have concerns about the way that the city has been proceeding with the vacation of Hunt Street, which is required for this project to go forward. Based on state law and court precedent, we believe that the city's action in vacating Hunt Street is improper and illegal. So until these defects have been resolved, we think it's improper for the city to approve the variance. Thank you.
Did you appeal the environmental review to the Board of Supervisors?
We did.
And what were the results of that hearing?
The environmental review was upheld by the board.
Also, I discussed briefly with the project sponsor, the variance that is required off of Natoma, that seems to preserve access to W Hotel. Do you agree?
I haven't looked at the specific of where that, what exactly the variance is required, is asking for. The diagrams that were provided with the variance material were not clear on that. I'd be happy to discuss that with the project proponent.
But do you have any opposition to that portion specifically? That
not
the variance
with the specifics of the architecture of it? Not at this time.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much. Any other public comment on this item on 151 Third Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal. Would you like to set that?
Thank you. I'd only note that the Natoma Street variance is absolutely for the benefit of the WXL. So I find it a bit ironic that they're in opposition to it. The Board of Supervisors did uphold the EIR. The Board of Supervisors did vacate Hunt Street. That is a final action.
What was the board's vote on the environmental review?
It was unanimous. 10-0. Supervisor Alagi was accused, but it's unanimous. And the vote on that vacation of Hunt Street was unanimous as well.
Thank you very much. So with that, we'll close the public hearing on the item. I understand concerns raised by WHL regarding the environmental review. I think that has been addressed by the Board of Supervisors and also the vacation of Hunt Street. I think that those are matters beyond the scope of this variance. The variance does, in fact, seem to preserve rights and access for WHL. And also, I see that the five findings required to justify the variance have been met. So I'd be inclined to grant the requested variance subject to standard conditions, also taking into account the conditions that were required by the Planning Commission as part of the Section 309 application, which is now on appeal to the Board of Appeals, as well as the review, those findings that were adopted by the Board of Supervisors and unanimously upholding the environmental review. So with that, public hearing is closed and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 7, case number 2011.1302V, 807 Columbus Avenue, rear yard variance sought. You're the sponsor, sir. You have 5 minutes.
Great. Thank you very much. Mr. Sanchez, my name is Federico Engel. I am the architect of the project, and I will be representing Christian Chan, the owner of the Grand Island commercial property, as well as the second floor unit, who could not be here due to traveling plans. Just a quick description of the variance request. We're requesting a variance to San Francisco Plan Code 134, which is the 25% rear yard setback. That is associated with our proposal to subdivide the existing commercial space on the ground floor, essentially turning approximately half of the back of the commercial space into residential use. And because the lot is a full coverage lot, we are unable to provide the required rear yard setback on the ground floor. Just a quick note, the proposal does call that for the merging of the ground floor residential existing second floor unit, and the required 25% rear yard setback is provided on the second and third floors. And that will not change. So we do have 25% rear yard setback on the second floor. Just a quick description of the proposal again, subdivide the ground floor commercial, change the use of the back, turn it into residential use. I'd like to just comment kind of quickly on the full proposal of the project, because I think it's pretty unique, which I haven't encountered in a few years of working here in the city. And the problem really, or what we see it as an opportunity, really started with the problem with the existing commercial space. The existing commercial space is about 3,300 square feet. and was built, the existing building was essentially reconfigured and rebuilt in 2005 and 2006 and turned into a three-story mixed-use building with six units of residential on the second and third floors and ground floor commercial. And since it was built in 2005, 2006, that ground floor commercial space has remained vacant. And we believe there's a few reasons why. And just quickly, you know, obviously the state of the economy is maybe not great, but there's a couple physical drawbacks to that space that really make it difficult to have a viable commercial tenant in the space. One is that it's 3,300 square feet, which is large for the North Beach area. Two is that it has a relatively small frontage in proportion to the 3,300 square feet. And third is that because of the layout of the space and the location of the lobby and the driveway, that 3,300 square feet is really kind of physically divided into what we call like a front space, which is more conducive to commercial use, and a back space, which doesn't work so well for commercial. So those are kind of the physical limitations of the commercial space, and again, it's been difficult to find a tenant. So in association with our proposal for this variance to turn that portion into residential space, and we also do have a 312 site permit application on file for that change of use to residential. We do have a tenant improvement permit on file to convert the front 1,700 square feet of space into a retail and specialty grocery store. So I do think that, you know, we're taking this 3,300 square feet commercial space that has not had a use in the last 7 years, and we're maximizing the use both in the residential and the commercial. And we just quickly, we met with the HOA twice. I do have with me two letters of support from the HOA president and the HOA vice president, which I can give you copies. And I just emailed that to Rick Crawford yesterday afternoon, so I'm not sure if it's been passed down to you. And quickly on the residential side, you know, we'll be increasing the residential unit to about 2,400 square feet, which is pretty unique in the North Beach area. I think a benefit is that we're increasing the diversity of residential use, you know, making a pretty unique space in back there. And there's no exterior changes, no exterior envelope changes, other than the insertion of a small light well and spiral stair in the back corridor. Thank you very much.
And so you do have a tenant in mind for the specialty food self-service use?
Correct.
And so they didn't mean that rear portion of the commercial use for storage or anything there?
They have not. They don't. We still have about 1,700 square feet allocated to the commercial use, and they found that's more than what they need. And we feel that the 3,300 square feet has been a problem in finding a tenant. There's been numerous proposals over the last 6-7 years for a tenant in terms of restaurant, yoga studio, even recently I think a kitchen for a homeless lunch program, and one reason or other all those proposals have fallen through. And again, we feel that the space is really too big for the area.
Thank you very much.
Great, thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item on 807 Columbus Avenue? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on the item being applied to the requested variance, noting that there is no expansion of building that's within the existing footprint envelope. The ground floor is full lot coverage, variance is necessitated, and a portion of that will be converted to residential use. No change of the number of dwelling units, just an expansion of an upper dwelling unit in the storage use. And also happy to hear that we have a lined up to activate that storefront. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2011.1231V, 543 to 547 Grove Street, also known as 444 Ivy Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Rezo Christian Islam SIA Consulting. The project before you is located on a 120 feet deep by 25 foot wide lot, which is also a through lot between that connects Grove Street to Ivy. By being a through lot, similar to other adjoining lots on this block, we have the opportunity to build a single family home, a modest single family home, fronting Ivy Street. And this is, we feel that this building, due to the fact that there's a lot of residential homes, the two unit, three unit, single families, facing Ivy Street, that our proposal is fitting to Ivy Street. And I would like to put up a aerial photo that shows you the block. And as you can see, the pattern of the mid-block open space is already established on this block, and we are shorter than our neighboring building. The 440 Ivy Street also is hoping to get a similar proposal in that we basically tie this mid-block open space all together. We feel that this is adequate for this block, and I'm available for any comments you may have.
Thank you. So, as you noted, I think the photo very clearly shows there's the pattern of the three lots and having the structure at the rear. A lot of these lots, including the next item on the calendar, are subdivided, so they have, you know, the lots fronting on either Grover or Ivy. Do you have any plans to subdivide the lot?
Not at this time. Not at this time, but I have to discuss that with Owen. I mean, this is going to be a single family home detached, so technically I don't see a reason why it needs to happen.
In terms of condominium
right.
process. Okay. Well, thank you very much. And the section 311 notice has been completed as of last month.
Yes, we also did the project fronting 543 Grove Street. 311 went out for that too. We have no neighborhood opposition.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? That's item number 8, 543, 547 Grove Street, also known as 444 Ivy Street. So, seeing none, close the public hearing on item 8, planning to grant the request of variance, noting that the Section 311 did expire, no discretionary review requests were filed. That there is a very clear pattern of development on these three lots, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 9, case number 2007.0432V, 537 Grove Street. Lot area and rear yard variances sought. Sponsor, please. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Dan Bratton with Rubin and Junius for the project sponsors at 537 Grove Street, Callie and Sheridan Oaks. We're all very pleased to be here in what we hope is the final act of a story that started when the Oaks house burned down about 7 years ago, or rather was severely damaged by fire that also destroyed the building next door at 543 Grove Street. We've been working for several years with preservation planners to figure out how to save what's left of the historic 537 Grove Street building without breaking the bank, and we think we have a project that will achieve both goals. Very briefly, the project consists of three main components. First, there's a lot split that will divide what is now the fourth largest lot on the block into two smaller parcels of about 1,800 and 1,300 square feet. Both lots will be under the minimum size requirement of 2,500 square feet, but their sizes will be in line with others on the block, which generally has buildings running on both Grove and Ivy. As you just saw before, there's a map showing you the block, as well as all of the properties which are either non-compliant for rear yard or non-compliant for lot size. You can see that the majority of the block is actually non-compliant with one or both of those standards. The second part of the project is to repair the damaged parts of the Grove Street building, to renovate the historic facade and have a small second unit as well as a third floor addition. The rear building wall is going to stay in its current location, but because the property line shifts, a rear yard variance will be needed. Again, pretty much every block on every building, excuse me, every lot on this block has a relatively small rear yard or no rear yard at all. So this is the norm for the neighborhood. Third and lastly, there's an accessory garage at the back of the property that's going to be removed, and that's just going to make construction on the main house more affordable and create a vacant lot along Ivy Street. There are no plans to develop that lot at this time, and while the owners would prefer to keep the property for their own, they may have to sell it to finance the main renovation project. I know that you've seen the variance application and the plan, so if you have any questions, we're happy to answer them. With that, I'll conclude. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good presentation. And as noted in the previous project, there was a very clear pattern here of small lots, and we demonstrated that successfully as well. Was there any public comment on this item on 537 Grove Street? Any public comment on 537 Grove? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on the item being inclined to grant the requested variances. Also, noting that the Section 311 notice for the current project has expired, no restriction of request to file, and we'll move on to the next item.
Last item on our calendar, case number 2011.0927V, 263 Lexington Street. Rear yard, open space, and exposure variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Sanchez. This is a request for a rear yard variance and also for exposure of the space variance. The typical houses on this property all built around the 1910 era, with many of them having these rear porches that currently do not comply with the rear yard setbacks. And so the owners of the property who are here right now were going to get the rear porches repaired because they were dry rotted, and but it was in such bad shape that they will need to tear them down and rebuild them. So that being said, that's why we're requesting these variances. And again, this is a typical of all the buildings pretty well on that area, on that whole block. The proposal also includes a new apartment in the existing ground floor area and an addition of approximately 114 square feet under the new porch structure. Due to the restricted eastern slope neighborhood, site of variance is requested for the exposure and open space requirements. So I guess that pretty well covers it. And Mr. Sanchez, I think you've got all the other information that you need there. And if you have any questions, the owners are here to answer them.
So the lot size is about 25 by 80 foot lots.
Yeah, it's a small.
And the previous in this property was at RH3, which would allow up to 3 dwelling units. It's been rezoned to the RTO mission. Zoning district, which has different in terms of improving the parking requirement and also the density requirement. So, seeking to add that dwelling unit is a small unit for your own property, which means exposure variance. Are you aware of any opposition to that?
No, not at all. Actually, the neighbors are really keen to get this going. So, they're very excited about to get this all done so they can move on.
And have you submitted the building permit for the uses yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's going to go in after this.
Okay.
Yeah, just wait for the very skip through, and then we'll go ahead and get the building permit.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
So, Oscar, is there any public comment on this item on 263 Lexington Street? Again, 263 Lexington. Seeing none, close the public hearing on the item being planned to grant the requested variance, noting that we are adding a dwelling unit where it's appropriate to add dwelling units, and then also, that it is a slightly smaller lot than normal, 25 by 80 for a lot. The existing building is existingly non-compliant, which necessitates the exposure variance. That is the final item on the calendar. We move to general public comment for items that were not on the calendar today. Does anyone here for general public comment? Seeing none, this hearing is closed and will be began on March 28, 2012.